No matter what comes your way, with Christ, you can overcome. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us how we can live in spiritual victory.
You don't appreciate forgiveness until you recognize that you need forgiveness. So the Bible says, for all have sinned. I have sinned. So the only way that I could ever have relationship with God is that if somehow in grace He reached way down to me and brought me up to Him.
The Bible says that through Christ we have victory. Through our relationship with God, He has made us more than conquerors. If He is for us, who can be against us? But if this is true, then why do we doubt and struggle? In our series today, we will learn about God's powerful sovereignty and how we can overcome the adversities of life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, The Winning Side, we will discover how our acceptance in Christ allows us to live in confidence that we're on the winning side. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Victory Through Grace.
Grace will give you renewal in times of difficulty. Now, many of you can testify to this fact, but if we were to liken the day of your salvation as the beginning point, here's the starting block. I'm going to run the race now called life. And no one really begins living life until they meet Jesus Christ by grace. But from the time I start this race until the time that I see Jesus, either by death or by the rapture, there are going to be some bumps in the road. There are going to be some things that we just didn't think were coming. There's going to be some words we didn't think would be in our vocabulary. There's going to be times of health difficulty, cancer, divorce, troubles with the kids, Christians that disappoint us, and between there and there, we're going to need a lot of grace if we're going to make it to the very end. Now, I don't know about you, but no matter what the bumps and trials are, my hope today, standing before you as your pastor, is that I will finish that race. I want to fight that good fight. I want to keep the faith. I want to finish the course for the glory of God. And that's why I'm preaching this message today. Because sometimes when those hurts come, I've got to know what to do when those difficulties come into my life. So here's the verse. Look in your notes now. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's Jesus, the high priest. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned. He's the perfect Savior. But now look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus, the perfect Son of God, says, come to me and come to the throne of grace and pray. And I want you to ask me for that grace that you need in your time of need. My friend, we all need God's grace. At times in our life, it becomes heavy and difficult, and we need more grace at those times. Years ago, and I began serving in the Lord in full-time ministry back in the early 80s. And I remember the church where I was working, there was a lady that was in the choir, right in the middle of the choir. She sang every Sunday morning, blonde hair, short hair. And she sang with a smile and vibrancy. I remember just looking out of the corner of my eye, man, she just loved Jesus. She loved singing about Jesus. And three or four times I went out on soul winning and visitation, and I was talking to people about the church. And three or four times people said to me, who is that lady that stands right there by the middle of the choir? She's always smiling and happy. Is that the pastor's wife, they would say. And they wanted to know about that lady. So I did a little research. And the next time they asked me the question, I said, oh, that lady in the middle. Well, that's a lady whose husband left her for another woman about 6 months ago. And she's moved into a very difficult little apartment on a very difficult part of town. And she has very little money, and she's just doing her best to raise her kids. But by the grace of God, there's something wonderful about her. She's growing in the grace of God. She's strong in the grace of God. And sometimes you may not feel like you can handle one more burden, one more curse word, one more hateful word, even from a family member. You might think, what's going on? But I'm here to tell you that God has more grace and more encouragement and more strength for you. Like the little boy that went shopping with his dad and he had the basket and his dad was putting lots of stuff in the basket. He put in strawberry jam, not strawberry jelly, strawberry jam. He put in peanut butter, not regular peanut butter, chunky peanut butter, because he's a loving father concerned about protein for his children. Come on, help me here. We're shopping right now. And he's putting all this stuff in. Man, a little guy, it's getting a little bit heavy. And a lady said, boy, said, that's a heavy basket you're carrying. That looks too heavy. And the little boy looked at the lady and said, oh no, my daddy knows how much I can carry. And your heavenly father knows how much you can carry. And he knows how much you can't carry. And that's why when it gets so heavy, you think you can't take another step. He says, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you something from my spirit. I'm going to give you strength so you can keep on smiling in the choir, so you can keep on serving the Lord, so you can keep on keeping on and being faithful. So God says, I'm going to give you some grace to renew you when your heart is heavy. And secondly, I'm going to give you some grace to give you resolve when you're weak. You see, grace gives resolve when we are weak. Paul said to Timothy in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now let's read that verse together. So now you got to find it. Verse number 3, let's find it right now. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's say it again. Thou therefore. All right, now I told you we were going to read it. I put it right in the notes in front of you, and it's in the Bible too. So let's read it one more time. Verse number 3. Ready? Come on, some of you men read like soldiers. Okay, here, I'm a little worried about our army right now, so encourage me here. Here we go. 2 Timothy 2:3. Ready? Begin. Thou therefore endure hardness. Now you know the average Christian thinks that the Christian life is a playground. They do. What does your church do for me? You know? What kind of activities do we have? Did you know the Christian life is actually a battle and we're actually to be soldiers for Jesus Christ? And God says, I want you to endure hardness. Now, Timothy had just really gotten into the ministry. Paul is over in Rome. He's in prison. He's about to be persecuted and he's about to be martyred by Nero, the Roman emperor. Timothy's just getting going in the ministry. He's over in a city called Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, and he's starting to find out this pastoring stuff is not what he thought it was at all. I mean, he thought he would just study and pray, say some sermons, everybody would pat him on the back, tell him what a good job he's doing, and life was going to be good, everything's good in the hood for Timothy. That's what he thought it was going to be. But it wasn't going like that at all. In fact, just to give you a little insight, look, if you would, at Acts 20:29. For I know this, Paul says, that after my departing, Timothy, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So Timothy's waking up to ministry and he's realizing, man, there's some wolves coming into the church. There's some people that don't like what I'm preaching. There's some people speaking other doctrine. And he said, this is a little bit challenging. It's not as easy as I thought. So Paul's writing him this letter saying, now, Timothy, endure the hardness. I know it's not always easy. People are not always nice. It's going to be difficult, but I want to challenge you by the grace of God to endure the hardness. By the way, pastors need a double portion of the grace of God oftentimes. You ought to pray that we have that. Reminds me of the story of a little boy. He was going into the grocery store and he'd heard about some really good detergent that was very powerful, and his cat really did smell, and he thought, my cat needs a bath. I'm gonna go get some of that detergent. He walked in and the man at the grocery store said, what are you buying that detergent for? He said, I'm gonna give my cat a bath. And the grocer said, that is way too strong of a soap for your cat. And the little boy said, no, I saw the commercial. It's good for my cat. My cat really smells. He needs this. So he went home, and a few days later, he came into the store, and he was kind of sad as he walked in, and the man said, what's wrong? He said, did something go wrong? How's your cat? And the little boy said, he died. He said, he died. The grocer said, I told you about that soap. And the little boy said, oh, it wasn't the soap that got him. It was the spin cycle that got him. Now, I'm going to tell you something about life. Some days that spin cycle can get you. Some days it just feels like you're just whirling around, and it seems like trials and troubles come and you feel like you're weakening down with it. And Paul the Apostle even had that. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten with rods. Paul the Apostle had an infirmity of his eyes, a disease. It was difficult. He was in weakness. And even one time prayed that Jesus would take it all away and heal him. But look at what Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, friend, just stop right here. I don't know what you're going through today, but I'm going to tell you something. His grace is sufficient for you. And he says this, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, someone says, that is craziness. When I am weak, then I am strong. I never learned that at Harvard Business School. I never learned that on my military TDY training. I never learned that in my management school. When I am weak, then I am strong. No, you didn't, because the world knows nothing about God, God's word, God's grace, or the Holy Spirit of God. But Paul said, listen, when I come to the end of myself, then God's power can take over in my life. I don't need to pout anymore. I don't need to whine anymore. I don't need to threaten anymore. I don't need to call my attorney anymore, because now I have learned that when I am down and weak, then God is strong in me. God is not attracted to your strength. He's attracted to your weakness. He's looking for some Christians to say, Lord, I'm not very successful, and I don't know much, and I'm in a big world of trouble. And God says, you're just the kind of Christian I want to help today. We say, God, I just want you to know I got this degree and that degree, and I know this and that, and I've been to this seminar, and if you want me in your church, let me know, I'll show up. God's not going to give a lot of power to somebody like that. But Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. I'm going to tell you, we've been through some dark days at Lancaster Baptist Church, but we've seen the grace of God is sufficient. And when we've been weak to the point we couldn't hardly walk to another hospital or preach another funeral, God's Holy Spirit was there. And by the grace of God, we've seen Him take a weak people and make time to give us strength along the way. And I don't know what your burden might be today, but I'm trying to tell you this morning, when I am weak, then I am strong. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God says, I'll give renewal to the hurting. God says, I'll give resolve to the weak. God says, thirdly, I'll give respect for the brethren. I'll give respect for the brethren. You know what I've watched? People that grow in grace learn how to get along with other Christians. People that get a short fuse. I can't believe that happened to my kid. I can't believe that deacon parked in my parking spot. I know he was here 40 minutes before me, but he ought to know that's my spot. I can't believe Pastor had a voter registration. People that grow in grace, they just kind of go steady along in the Christian life. The Bible says in Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Notice this phrase, and great grace was upon them all. Now let's say that together. And great grace. Hey, when great grace is upon you, it doesn't matter. You might be from a different background. You might be from a different neighborhood. You might be from a completely different situation or job. But hey, when we have the same Holy Spirit in us, hey, great grace is upon us. Look, that's the way heaven's going to be. We're going to actually love one another. You know, some of you in heaven, you're going to say, amen. You can start practicing now if you want to. And great grace was upon them all of them. Hey, when grace is working, people get along. Hey, listen, listen to me now. The politicians aren't going to bring peace, and the United Nations not going to bring peace. And listen to me, the government can't make everybody get along. But when enough people get saved and God's grace works in their heart, boy, they get happy together in the Lord. That's what Jesus can do. Now listen to me, a gracious Christian, someone that's got the Holy Spirit in them working, they can take a potentially big problem and make it small. They can take something and say, well, my kid didn't get treated right, or I didn't like this, or how come they painted it this color? And instead of having a problem, they just say, you know, that's not nearly as important as getting the gospel preached. Because grace is in their heart. Gracious Christians can take something big and make it small. Hey, listen. A carnal Christian, an ungodly Christian, they take something that big and turn it into a nuclear warhead. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not putting up with that anymore. I'm out of here. Just take a little something and they're gone. Listen, the reason God has blessed Lancaster Baptist Church, because there's been a lot of grace in the hearts of people for 30 years. Look at Ephesians 4:29. It's in your notes. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister. Say the next word now.
Grace.
Man, you're doing awesome this morning. That what you say may minister what?
Grace.
Hey, that might help your marriage. You see, there's two kinds of people in this room. Listen now. There's either the grace giver or the scorekeeper. Right? If you're a scorekeeper in your marriage, one day you're going to go, that's it. That's the last straw. I am out of here. I've been keeping score for 19 years. Boom. Three strikes. You're out, bud. You're either a scorekeeper or a grace giver. How many of you are thankful God is a grace giver?
Amen.
And grace givers make good spouses. And grace givers make good church members. And grace givers make good Christians, because we give grace. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. Sometimes I preach about preachers in England because I like to study those that took an early stand, especially against the Roman Catholic Church. And some of them were martyrs in the 1600s, especially 1500s. But you've heard me mention an 1800s preacher, Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon was perhaps the mightiest pulpit of the day in England. Back in the 1800s, the Metropolitan Tabernacle, maybe 4 miles from the River Thames. So many people came to hear him preach that every fifth Sunday they had to ask all the members not to come, just so visitors could come and hear preaching. Very, very powerful preacher. And also in that same town was Joseph Parker, another wonderful preacher in London at that time. One day, Parker got up, and for some reason, he was talking about Spurgeon's church and Spurgeon's orphanages that they had, and he said something just a little bit disparaging towards Spurgeon's orphanages. And whether he meant it that way or not, it got to Spurgeon, and Spurgeon wasn't as gracious as he should have been. He got a little frustrated about what was said, so he got up in the pulpit, and he said something kind of negative about Parker. And now, listen, everybody's curious. Woo-hoo! What's Parker going to say next week? And the crowds flooded to Parker's church. Now, mind you, this is before Facebook. It took 7 days to catch up with gossip back then, right? So they all over at Parker's church. What's he going to say? And Parker stood in his pulpit, and this is what he said. He said, I understand that today is the normal day when Pastor Spurgeon takes the offering for the orphanages at their church. And I'm also told that Pastor Spurgeon is out of his pulpit today. And so I would like to propose that our church takes the offering for their orphanage. And they passed the plate 1, 2, 3 times taking this offering. And on Monday, Pastor Parker and 3 of his deacons took bags of money to Pastor Spurgeon's office, and they said, this is the offering for the orphanage for your church. And Spurgeon said, Parker, you have practiced grace on me. Perhaps you can practice grace on someone this week. You see, the Christian life begins when we're saved by grace, but we've got to be strong in grace. We've got to grow in grace. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to keep working in our lives. And so the ministry of grace helps us to be faithful. Then finally, notice this morning, the motivation of God's grace. Notice in verse 4, it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. God's grace will first of all motivate you to live a holy life. God's grace will cause you to live in holiness and to be more like Jesus Christ. Notice Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There's a quote I want you to read concerning grace, and it's there in your notes, and it says, we must not only celebrate the liberation of grace, but also the purification of grace. All right, you see that? Let's read that together. Ready, begin. We must not only celebrate the... but also the... Now, there seems to be two schools of thought and two kinds of Christians and two kinds of churches on the matter of grace with respect to holiness. There are those that want to celebrate and they want to talk about the liberation of grace. And it is liberating. Thank God I'm free. And they say, now that I'm under grace, I can party, I can do whatever I want because I'm under grace. Now listen, if you want to stretch the theological truth, if you've truly been born again and you still sin, if you happen to fall into sin and you were truly saved, yes, you're saved and you're going to go to heaven. But the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, the Bible says. There are those that only want to talk about the liberation of grace. Listen, I'm free, free, free to do what I want to do. And they talk about liberation, and there's a point there, but they forget these verses that teach about the purification of grace, that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And we see teenagers and single adults and married couples today, and they want to say, I can do what I want to do because I'm forgiven. That's not the intention of grace. God says grace is going to motivate you to be more like Jesus. And I'm just simply telling you, if you're filled with the Spirit of God and you're growing in the grace of God, you're not going to be more like this world. You're going to be more like Jesus Christ, you see. So the grace of God brings us to a personal holiness, and it also brings us to a personal service for the Lord. Now look at this and we're done. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. How many of you would like to please the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I don't have to do anything to please him. He's already pleased. No, he loves you. He's forgiven you. He accepts you. But when you and I sin, it is displeasing. And when we are faithful, it is pleasing to him, or the Bible wouldn't tell us so. We can please him. And Paul said, I want to please him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He labored in the grace of God. Listen, my friend, if you're going to be faithful to live the right kind of life and to serve over a long period of time, you're going to have to keep growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to grow to be better, not bitter. In the flesh, we're going to get bitter. Why did they say that? Why did they do that? Everybody's against me. I'm going to go to the garden and eat worms. But in the spirit, we can get better and we can grow. You're either today shrinking or growing. As a Christian, listen, people don't keep driving the bus. People don't keep tithing. People don't keep serving. People don't stay faithful to the Lord unless they continually are growing in the grace of God. And I just want to encourage you, if you're going to stay on the winning side, keep growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The message of God's grace is a message of forgiveness. And the ministry of God's grace helps us to be faithful. But the motivation of God's grace helps us to serve with holiness until Jesus Christ comes again. May God help us to stay on the winning side. Dr. Curtis Hudson sang this song at his last message before he died. Well, I'm on the winning side. I think he'd be shocked to see how many have gone AWOL since he sang this song. There's only one way to stay on the winning side, and that's to keep growing in biblical grace until Jesus comes.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com, and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.